What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with our second horror movie of August. This was your pick, The Killing of a Sacred Deer from 2017. What made you pick this movie?
Well, first of all, you haven't seen it.
That's true.
And I feel like it's one of the most underappreciated, under talked about like A24 movies. Because I feel like nobody talks about this movie. And I'm gonna get into it, but yeah. And just I forgot about the ending. It's been like a few years since I've seen it. And yeah, we'll get into it, but I really do really like this movie a lot.
Sweet. Like you said, this is the first time watch for me. I feel like I've started it before and I never ended up finishing it because, or I've seen clips of it or something, because just Barry Keoghan's character, like I feel like I've seen some of these scenes before, but it might have just been clips.
Yeah, maybe,
Because I know I haven't watched it all the way through. But before we start talking about this one, let's kick off our booze and news. Right, what are you drinking tonight?
So I'm finishing my last beer from my brewery here in Rockland. I am drinking the Paradigm Shift
Ooh,
India Pale Ale.
nice.
I've had this one before, so
Okay.
good. What about you?
I'm just drinking another Somersby, man.
Nice.
I'm all out of beer. I keep forgetting to stop. I picked up a case on the weekend that just passed, but I had a year-end ball tournament, so that went pretty quick. So I'm just drinking Sarah's ciders now.
Nice.
All right, what have you been watching?
Few things, nothing really interesting, I don't think. I feel like
Nice.
I watched a Vacation. First time watch for me. It was okay. It was like some parts were funny, but a lot of the comedy didn't really hit for me. Not really needed. It's kind of like a sequel, kind of. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, it's almost like a standalone sequel.
Yeah, even though it has like Chevy Chase and the wife in it. Well, for a few minutes. I finished the show Hijack
Nice.
on Apple TV. Limited series. I really liked it a lot. And then I picked up the 4K of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, so watch that. And
Nice.
it's been a little while since I've seen it. It's just like I don't know. It's probably one of the best like feel good movies. Like I don't know, you just have a good time with it,
Yeah.
you know?
It's one of those movies you can just throw on at any time and just enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And then randomly watched Step Brothers because I hadn't logged it yet, so
Beauty.
it's a classic. It's so fucking funny.
Where does that rank on your list of like comedy movies?
Not as high as a lot of people have it. Like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably top eight.
Okay, that's not bad. Because
So.
like the mid to late 2000s had a great run for comedies. Like we had Step Brothers, Hot Rod, Superbad. I feel like the other guys came out around that time too.
Other guys, Talladega Nights.
Yeah, like Will Ferrell went on a little bit of a ride for a while.
Yeah, he
He
did,
was
yeah.
good.
But that's pretty much it. What about you?
Not a whole lot. Let me open mine up here. Excuse me. Well, we did Scott Pilgrim versus the World for our other podcast, obviously.
Yeah.
I watched 65.
Oh, nice. You've watched it.
Yeah. I liked it. I don't necessarily think I'll ever really have a desire to watch it again. But I feel like it got shit on pretty hard, and I don't think it deserves the hate that it got.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was a decent action movie, I found. Like, if you're trying to coin it as a horror movie, you're probably not going to have a great time with it. But I don't know. I like the relationship between Adam Driver and the girl that he was trying to protect and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was all right. And then I watched Cobweb,
which is nice. Another
2023 movie. It was fucked up, dude. Like, this movie, I have in my rating here, or in my review, like, I said I'm torn on this. I feel like it was a really good thriller until the last 20 minutes where it tried to kick it into high gear horror. And normally this would be like a good thing, but I thought the character design was very bad.
Okay.
They like CGI'd the face and it just looked awful. If they would have kept it like as a practical effects kind of thing, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
The idea of the villain was good, but just the way that they executed it, I wasn't a fan.
Okay.
But I mean, the first two acts are worth a watch, like alone. So, I mean, give it a shot, but personally, I didn't love it.
Okay.
And then we hopped on, another podcast on Tuesday, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. TV Trivia Pod. And we recorded a trivia episode of Shaun of the Dead. So got to rewatch that, and it's always a good time.
I realized I forgot to log it whenever you pulled yours up, so I just had to go in there and
nice
log it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that movie's always a great time. So
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched episode one of Twisted Metal.
Oh, you did. Night. Nice.
It was fun. I think it's going to be a fun show.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be what people want it to be, but I think it's going to be fun nonetheless.
Okay.
Anthony Mackie in a like comedy role was weird, but it works.
So I don't know what the first episode is, but like, is there any like the CGI? Is there any CGI in the first episode? Like,
it's none that looks bad.
Okay.
Like, I'm sure some of it is CGI, but it doesn't look bad.
Right. Right.
There's like a wicked car chase scene like right at the start. And
yeah,
it's just a lot of fun. The episodes are only 30 minutes too, which is cool.
Oh, okay.
It'll be like a nice, easy binge.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely check it out. It's on Paramount Plus up here.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's on. Peacock, I think, down in the States.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'll be fun. All right. As for our news, it's been a couple weeks, so I do have a bit. Where do I want to start? Here. Do you ever watch Street Trash? Do you ever watch that movie?
I still haven't seen it. It's on my watch list, but okay. Yeah.
They're rebooting it with the director of Fried Berry.
Oh, okay.
So I think that'll be interesting. I think he could pull it off. For sure. Talk to Me 2 has already been ordered. A24 has already put the order in for that. I still need to watch the first one, but
it just fucking came out.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know. But it seems like everybody and their mother went to see that on opening night.
I know.
Netflix has announced that Mike Flanagan's new show called The Fall of the House of Usher is going to premiere on October 12th. It's going to be an 8-episode limited series based on the works of Edgar Allan Poe. And it stars Carla Gugino. What else do we got here? Do, 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 do. Texas Chainsaw Massacre game comes out tomorrow. Tomorrow for us right now as we're recording. But Friday, August 18th is the release day. IGN's gave it a 6, but GameSpot gave it a 9. So I don't know.
That's quite the difference.
I don't know who to believe. So like maybe it'll be a 7.5. I don't know. It is in Canada. I've seen on the PlayStation Store, it's either $49.99 or $59.99.
Okay.
But for our Xbox users, it's going to be a day one release on Game Pass.
Oh, sick.
So you'll be able to get it for free if you play Xbox. FX has announced that American Horror Story Delicate Part 1 will premiere on September 20th, 2023. So this is the one that's starring Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be based off of a novel from Danielle Valentine called Delicate Condition.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the cover art for it. But I haven't watched American Horror Story in a while, so I don't know if I will tune into this one.
I gave up on that show.
Yeah. I don't know if Kim Kardashian's enough to bring me back. One thing that I'm really excited about, the Toxic Avenger is getting a remake.
Yeah, they just released the first picture of Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
Trying to speed this up here. Chucky season 3 premieres on October 4th. And my most exciting news for me personally, I already fucking texted you about it today and you kind of shot me down. Asshole. One of my favorite movies from 2022 is finally and kind of out of the blue getting a 4K and Blu-ray physical release. And that is Prey.
Nice.
The fact that Disney is doing this is pretty fucking crazy because this is the first straight to streaming physical release that they've done. So I'm excited and I'm hopeful because now if this gets enough leverage, they might do the same with Barbarian.
Well, that wasn't straight to streaming though.
Barbarian?
Yeah.
Was it
that? That was in theaters. I watched it in theaters.
That's right. Okay, it was. But still, they don't have a physical release for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, with any luck, maybe we'll get that too.
Yeah. Speaking of physical releases, I don't know if you saw, but they've already released, well, it's not out yet, but Talk to Me's release.
I did see that.
There's a collector's edition, and it comes with a replica hand with a pen, and you can write on it names and draw on it. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Have you watched the movie? I can't remember.
No. I'm hoping to go next week, but I don't know. It's been crazy busy, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad your section was really long because mine is not even worth mentioning. There's like,
oh really?
Yeah, Babylon 5 and some movie with Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, well, so, shit.
Yeah.
Some movie with Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
She's like my old school celebrity crush.
Oh really?
Oh, I think she's just beautiful.
Nice. But I mean, I did actually. Went to Walmart today and they had one copy of The Fablemans left on Blu-ray. Oh, so
nice.
Picked that up. So been wanting to watch that for a while since it came out. So
yeah.
Hoping to watch that soon.
Sweet. Hopefully it's good. Yeah.
It was only looks $20 too.
Beauty.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to cue the theme music and dive into this movie?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
right, like we said in the intro, this week we are talking about The Killing of a Sacred Deer from 2017. Starting off the synopsis, Stephen, a charismatic surgeon, is forced to make an unthinkable sacrifice after his life starts to fall apart when the behavior of a teenage boy he has taken under his wing turns sinister. I don't know if I'd call him charismatic.
No.
No one in this movie is charismatic.
Maybe Bob, maybe, but...
Yeah, maybe. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie is directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, who did The Lobster, The Favorite, and Dogtooth. So he clearly has a genre that he enjoys, where it's like, just, I don't know.
Yeah. I've only seen The Lobster. I haven't seen the other two movies.
I watched Dogtooth. So that was the only one that I've seen.
You haven't seen The Lobster?
No.
Do you know what the premise is of that movie?
Doesn't Colin Farrell turn into a lobster? Something like that?
Yeah, so basically... It's like sometime in the future, and like they go to like some town, and if you're single for longer than I forget how long it is, then you get turned into an animal and you get to pick what the animal is.
Okay.
So it has John C. Reilly in it. It's been a while since I've seen it, but it's pretty funny. And like Colin Farrell's pick is a lobster because like they live like over 100 years old and they have sex like every day or something like that. He says, it's a really odd movie, but it's funny.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
This cast list, I didn't write down all the movies for everybody because I mean, they're very popular actors and actresses, but there are a few here. Starting off is obviously Colin Farrell, who plays Stephen. Nicole Kidman plays Anna. Barry Keoghan plays Martin. If you don't recognize him, he was in Dunkirk, The Banshees of Inisherin with Colin Farrell as well. Mm-hmm. The Green Knight, Eternals, and The Batman.
Oh, yeah. That threw me off there with The Batman. I was like,
oh, you forgot about that?
Yeah.
And lastly, I have Alicia Silverstone, who played Martin's mother. And then I have one honorable mention.
I think I know what it is.
Sonny Suljic or Suljic.
Yeah.
He plays Atreus in the God of War games.
Yeah.
And he was in mid-90s as well, which was a very good movie.
It was, I was watching the movie and like halfway through, I was like, fuck, why does this kid look so familiar?
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, I can't picture it, and then like look it up and it's like Sonny Suljic, whatever. It's like, oh shit.
yeah he's a good little actor.
He is, man.
I really liked him in mid-90s. I thought he did great.
Yeah.
Did you have anybody to add?
No, that was pretty much it.
All right, short and sweet cast list. I mean, a lot of heavy hitters, but
yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about this movie.
Let's get into it, man. So I mean, this movie opens right up with just heart surgery, just
threw me for a right fucking there. Loop.
Yep.
Not expecting that to be the opening scene.
Are you one of those people who likes watching surgeries?
Yeah.
Oh, you are? Oh, man.
I can watch a surgery on TV or like on the internet.
Yeah.
And like, I can watch some fucked up shit, but like when it comes to being there in real life, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah. 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 I remember like when I was in high school, like my mom and sister would always watch like, you know, the surgery shows on TV.
Yeah.
And,
I
think like Nip Tuck was, was it a real show?
No, that was on, that was an HBO show, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't see the, I mean, it is interesting, I guess, but like, I don't know. I just don't get it.
Yeah. What's your, it's a little off topic, but like, I feel like everybody has like kind of a guilty pleasure kind of thing that they like to watch. Like Sarah loves to watch Dr. Pimple Popper, and I can't handle that shit.
Yeah.
But like my thing is on TikTok, I love to watch the videos of the people getting their ears cleaned out. And they like scope their ears and they're pulling out like the wax and shit. I don't know what it is, man. I like it.
So the Dr. Pimple Popper stuff, it's like, you go to see a scary movie and you're like, that's how I am. I'm like, I want to watch it because it's like interesting, like especially the ones of the big like cysts and like
Oh
shit on
man,
people, and you're
fucking
like,
bleh.
and they just pull a glob of this big white stuff. You're like, how is that in you? I was really into, maybe weird, but I mean, whatever. Randomly on my For You page, all these videos of dogs or animals that get the fly or whatever in their skin.
Oh, like bot flies?
Yeah, the bot fly
Man, that
videos.
shit's so fucked up.
Because like they dig into their skin, like they put like the alcohol like on it or water, and you just see it like pop up, and they grab it and then pull it out. And this is like fucking like some of them are so long, like I don't know, it's satisfying, but gross. Man.
Everybody's got like that weird guilty pleasure thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One thing I like about this movie a lot is just the camera work in it. And you really get this in like this scene after the surgery of like Steven and his anesthesiologist, I forget what his name is, but they're like walking down the hallway, and it's just like such a basic scene, but I just love the way the camera is. It's like kind of like watching them and like following them, and like the camera angle is kind of like a fish eye kind of thing. And I feel like this movie is, I don't know how you felt watching it, but very hard to watch. Like,
How so?
just uneasy.
Yeah, I mean, do you mean like uneasy, like subject content?
No, just the way it was. I don't know, just like the way the characters are, and just like the music was very like used very well. And like there's nobody dangerous in, like, it's not a fucking murderer with a knife. It's just like just this kid talking, and even like Steven and Anna are very odd and weird, and just like I don't know, it's made me feel uneasy, and like I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get that. Anna, more so than Steven, made me feel uneasy. There's just something about her. But Steven and Martin's relationship, like I was getting kind of like Jeffrey Epstein vibes for the first little bit. But like Barry Keoghan's character, like as he progresses through, I'm just like, this is one creepy motherfucker. And like nothing really happens to make you think that. Like specifically, but yeah, I don't know. I
And
didn't.
also, hospitals make me very uneasy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either.
I don't know, just something about them.
Well, it's, I mean, we attribute death to hospitals, right? So.
But so yeah, Steven is a surgeon, and he is kind of befriending, well, he's not even, I don't think he's trying to befriend him. He hears that Martin wants to get into the field, so Steven has taken him under his wing to kind of teach him a bit and stuff like that. But then Martin gets kind of not obsessed, but like you can see that his character changes a bit through the movie. And like obviously we know later on that Martin's dad died by the hands of Steven, allegedly.
On the operating table.
So
Wait,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, because like Steven wants Martin to call him before he shows up to the hospital, but then Martin will just start randomly showing up and he's like hanging out in his office, and
yeah,
he just really starts to push the boundaries.
Yeah. And then I don't think Steven helps himself because like he gets Martin a watch as a present.
A very expensive watch.
Yeah. And I think Barry Keoghan in this movie is like, this is the movie that put him on the map for me. Like, I love this guy so much. He can act like a motherfucker.
Yeah. He, like, as awful as it is to say, in this movie, his character reminded me of watching Still, like the Michael J. Fox movie. Because, like, you know how Mike, like, with Parkinson's, he's like moving around all the time. Well,
yeah.
Barry, like, Martin is moving around like he was
yeah.
in that documentary.
Yeah.
Like, constantly, like, his head's always going. He's never sitting yeah. still.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like the way he talks to Steven is like, I don't know, it's very calming, but also like weird, like, you know,
almost he's sinister.
He's going about like he just tells random things. Like, obviously he's like on the spectrum or something is like up with him. Cause he's like, oh, I don't like the leather strap. I'm going to get a metal one or no, it's a metal
around.
Strap and he likes the leather ones. And
yeah.
Steven's like, well, you know, that's a very expensive watch. And then like later in the movie, Martin's like, yeah, I changed the strap.
Yeah.
He's like, was that okay? Like, are you mad? And like, yeah.
Yeah. But the way that everybody acts in this movie, like, it almost seems like everybody's on the spectrum a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, everybody talks with like no emotion.
I know. And Steven is such an odd character.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, Colin Farrell did a great job in this movie too. Like, he's very fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he talks is like,
it's very, like, he talks with no punctuation.
Yeah. Yeah. And like no emotion
mm-hmm.
really until like then, like near the third act of the movie.
Yeah.
Like
even, Kim, their daughter.
Yeah.
Like there's one point where, Martin comes over for dinner with Steven's family and he's up in, Kim and, Bob's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, I got my first period today. It's just like,
yeah,
out of nowhere.
And then like later in the movie, Anna and Steven are talking at like a formal dinner
mm-hmm.
With the anesthesiologist, and out of nowhere, Anna or Steven's just like, oh yeah, Kim got her period last week.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Like, and they just like end the convo and just leave. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just, and then their like bedroom stuff that they have going on. She like takes off her clothes and Anna. And then she just lies in the bed with her head like hanging over, like she's praying she's dead. And then Steven gets like turned on by it. It's like
mm-hmm.
very weird.
Cole Kidman still has it, man. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, like, she does. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You see everything in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get a little backstory of Steven. He hasn't drank in 3 years. He was an alcoholic, and you learn that Martin is very close with his mother because his dad passed away. He was in a car crash and then he went into surgery, I believe, and then he died on the surgery table.
Yeah.
And also the thing about Barry Keoghan, Martin is 16 years old in this movie,
mm-hmm.
but Barry was 23.
Oh shit.
And like, he looks like a 16-year-old in this movie.
Yeah.
Like he is pretty like, he's not ripped or jacked, but like he has like a good body on him.
Mm-hmm. And Kim tells him that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kim is 14. I think the actress that played her is actually like, I think was like 14 or 15.
Yeah. She was closer to the age of her character.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was another thing too with like in that bedroom scene where she tells Martin that she got her first period. Bob asks him if he's got hair under his arms. And he's like, yeah, so I do. Weird. He's like, yeah, I do. He's like, well, can you show me? So he takes his shirt off and he lifts his arm up. And my dad's got like at least three times more hair than you do. Yeah. So then the next time Martin goes to see Steven at the hospital, he asks him, he's like, yeah, your son told me that you have three times more body hair than I do. Can you take your shirt off and show me? And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. And just like his tone of voice that Martin has through the whole movie, I think makes it even more creepier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's very monotone and like no emotions. Just like, can you take your shirt off?
Yeah.
And Steven, I don't know why, but, you know, kind of like looks around, tries to unbutton his shirt, and he's like, here, look. And then Martin's like, that doesn't look like three times as much as me. Oh, man. Also, that scene in the bedroom, like, Martin is just like out of nowhere, like, can I smoke in here?
Yeah.
And then just like opens the windows, just like casually talking to Kim and Bob, and like, and he's so creepy, man. And we start getting a few hints of Martin kind of creeping on Steven. In the parking garage, you see him twice, I believe. And I think also with the camera work, it feels like Martin is around whenever he isn't. Like,
yeah,
the camera is like kind of following Steven, you know? But I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so Martin invites Steven over for dinner to meet his mom. And again, very weird family. Do you think Steven's mom was, or sorry, Martin's mom was in on this at all? Or do you think that was just a thing that Martin planned up?
I feel like she was in on it.
Yeah.
Because the way that she acts with Steven, like, because Martin wants Steven to stay and watch his favorite movie, and Martin or Steven tries to leave, and he ends up staying, watches the movie, but then Martin gets up and goes to bed, and then his mother starts coming on to Steven saying he has beautiful hands, and most doctors do. And then she's like, can I get a better look at them? And then she starts sucking on his fingers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I have to assume that she maybe kind of put Martin up to set this whole thing up.
Yeah, maybe it's like, you know, you killed my dad and husband, so now you have to replace them or something.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Yeah. I think it's funny, like, Martin begs Steven to stay and watch the movie, and then, like, halfway through, Martin's just like, oh, I think I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed now.
Well, so like,
I could finish the movie with you. And then Steven just stays and watches the movie, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
But it's like the classic setup, right? Like, where, like, let's just say one of us was single and we knew we were going to a party, and then and there was a girl there that we wanted to set the other person up with. Convince the other guy to go, and then we get to the party and I'll be like, yeah, okay, see you later, I'm out. Let you two talk, kind of thing.
And they both like really like his hands, Steven's hands, because he's a doctor, you know, or a surgeon, you know, they have very clean and delicate hands. The hairy bodies we talked about. And Martin keeps inviting Steven to dinner. So you can see it's kind of like progressing. He's getting a bit more, not like obsessed, but like, I don't know. It's very odd.
Yeah.
And Steven's like, no, I can't go to dinner, blah, blah, blah. And then one of the friends sees Martin buy Steven's car. And then all of a sudden, Bob, one of the next mornings, Steven's like, okay, Bob, let's go. Bob's like, does not moving. He's like, I can't get up. And Steven's like, joking, like, come on, Bob. And then just, he can't feel his legs. And I didn't really understand this whole like aspect of the movie of like, was it in their minds? Because I know that this movie is based on, I think, a play or something like that, or a really old story.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I read in the trivia. But what do you think about all of this stuff with, because we know that Martin says basically, like, there's like four steps, right?
Yeah.
They won't feel their legs, or they'll feel like numb or paralyzed. Then they won't eat, and then they'll does it bleed from their eyes?
Yeah.
And then they'll die.
Yeah.
So this
lost me. Oh, you found the trivia?
Yeah, so okay. Well, the film's title comes from the ending of the tragedy Iphigenia in Aulis by Euripides. So, I mean, I'm guessing that's like a really old play or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, this is where the movie kind of lost me.
Okay.
Like, was this Martin that did this?
I think so, but also like, how? Like,
yeah, like,
did he give them something?
Did he curse them?
Because, I don't know. Or is it in their heads? Well, it's not in their heads, because obviously, you know what happens with Baba at the end. Like, his eyes start bleeding. So it's like, it's not in their heads that they can't feel their legs, even though like some points throughout the movie they can walk like fine.
Yeah.
But I think Martin also says during the one scene,
it says to Steven that because his father died on Steven's operating table, he sees him as his father's killer. So now he'll have to kill members of his own family to balance it out.
Yeah, because Kim isn't paralyzed yet. It's just Bob in the hospital.
Yeah.
And Martin invites Steven up to the bar or the cafeteria.
Yeah.
And tells him in a very weird but calm way, like he's threatening Steven.
Yeah.
But he's like still acting friendly with Steven. Like it's a very, I don't know, it's weird.
It's like he doesn't see what he's doing is wrong.
No, because he tells Steven everything, you know, it's like, you have to pick one of your family. He says it like really fast. And he's like, sorry, I had to say that really fast.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck? But he got him a present as well. He got him a Swiss Army knife. Steven got Martin. And he basically tells Steven that right now is a critical time in Bob's stages, because, you know, the time is coming of when that Steven needs to choose who to kill, basically.
Yeah. And at this point too, like when Martin goes up, or when Steven goes back up to Bob's room, Bob's refusing to eat.
Yeah.
So Steven tries to like force feed him, but obviously doesn't work. So he's already in the second stage at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think Martin drugged them or gave them something that would cause all this?
I really have no idea, dude. Cause like when it all started happening, I was trying to think back to like previous scenes and I was like, when could he have done that?
Yeah.
Like there's nothing where he like prepared them dinner or like got them drinks or anything like that. Like he went on a walk with Kim and they were by themselves and she sang to him. And then they were alone in her room again in another scene. But like, there's no indication that he would have done any of this.
No. Yeah.
So, and that's where it lost me, because I was just like, how the fuck is this happening?
Yeah. Bob won't eat. Martin and Kim are dating, I guess.
Yeah.
Kim is like obsessed with Martin.
Yeah.
Very weird. And I love the scene of I don't love it because it's kind of weird as well. But whenever Steven is in the hallway with Bob, and he just picks him up like off the floor, then fucking just drops him right in the hallway. I was like, what the fuck? Just drop your kid? And then like, and some of the dialogue in this movie is weird as fuck. Like, I don't even know if I want to say it just because of how odd it is.
Which
they
one?
Play the secret game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Steven thinks that Bob is doing this all on purpose, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's basically like threatening him. He's like, Bob, if you don't stop doing this, like, I'll cut your hair off and make you eat it. And then he's like, you know, I'm not faking it. And he's like, okay, let's play a game. It's called the secret game. And he's like, okay, I'll tell you a secret. I've never told anyone before. Then you tell me a secret, trying to like get him to admit it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This went somewhere I did not expect. which I think goes to show Steven's character a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, he has some... He's a surgeon, but he has some screws loose up there, man.
Yeah.
So basically, the story, like, he's alone at his house with his dad sleeping, and I think he's like with some friends, or like he sees his brother like jerking off or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes into his dad's bedroom, pulls out his dad's cock, and starts stroking it and jerking it off until he comes. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
No. Oh man. So then Kim passes out. She loses feeling in her leg. She's not eating. And then I love whenever Steven shows up at Martin's house, he's like banging on the door and he's like, Martin, I'm here. I'm here. If you don't come down here, I'll fuck you and your mother. Just what you want. Oh, man. So you learned a bit about the dad. The dad was 46.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's asking Steven about everything. And he says that he was drinking a bit that night, but it can't affect him because he says that a surgeon can never kill a patient, only an anesthesiologist.
Yeah.
So he's basically blaming it on his anesthesiologist. And then later in the movie, Anna meets with the anesthesiologist. It's a very weird encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the opposite. He says an anesthesiologist is never to blame. Only a surgeon can kill the patient.
Yeah.
Which I think it can go either way, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they can both be at fault.
Yeah.
The anesthesiologist can give them too much of the drug, and the surgeon is literally the person who has them cut open.
Yeah, yeah.
Like one wrong move.
Yeah. So Kim is trying to see Martin and kind of gets into it with Anna a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anna goes to Martin's house. And this scene was so fucking scary and like creepy.
Mm-hmm.
This character reminded me, I just thought of it tonight, of Anton Chigurh in No Country for Old Men.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Especially this scene.
Yeah.
Because like Martin is just eating spaghetti and he's just like talking, like having a normal conversation, like about mm-hmm. his dad. And he's just like, he tells this story, like it's the most basic story, but like I was so engaged in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like he's just like, he's like, I looked up to my dad and one day I was eating spaghetti and, you know, eating it like this, he shows. And he's like, and then I came to found it that my, oh no, he says like, I thought I was the only person in the world that ate spaghetti like this. And then I found out that my dad ate spaghetti like this too.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, I found out that's just the normal way to eat spaghetti. And it made me very upset.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he has no emotion, but he's just like, I don't know, man. He's so good.
That was a really good monologue. Like, that was one of, probably one of my favorites in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it reminded me of the monologue in Pearl. Like,
mm-hmm.
just like the camera's on this person just talking.
For... munching down on spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Martin tells Anna that Steven was flirting with the mom,
mm-hmm.
and that he wants to basically be with them instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Anna meets with the anesthesiologist and, you know, he says that Steven had two drinks, and then he's like, oh, I can tell you more, but it's going to cost you or something. And she's like, well, I still owe you from before or something like that. Then it cuts to a car and she's just there jerking him off in the car. And
yeah,
very weird. Yeah, Steven and Anna have a fight and it's again, very weird. I think, but what does Steven say? Oh, he just goes on about like a ritual about how to help his kids. He's like, oh, let's just feed our kids hair and teeth. And he's like going to the kitchen, like, I need hair and teeth in here and just smashing shit.
Yeah.
And then they go upstairs and he goes upstairs and Anna comes in and gets on the bed and, you know, takes off her clothes and does the fucking weird ass shit. And Steven is not all for it at all because he's kind of pissed at her.
Yeah. Shuts the lights off.
Yeah. A very weird couple.
There's a scene too where when Kim's in the hospital, so her legs aren't working too, but then she gets a phone call from Martin.
Yeah.
And he tells her to stand up and come to the window. Yeah. And then all of a sudden her legs work again. And she stands up and walks to the window.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like, this movie leaves questions for me, but
so many.
It doesn't bother me that much. I don't know. I kind of like leave you guessing. Like, I kind of want to look up stuff, you know, to see what other people think.
Yeah.
But also don't at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So the next morning, Anna finds that Steven had kidnapped Martin and left them in the basement. He's all duct taped up. And another weird scene that shows that Martin is a fucking strange ass dude, man. So basically, Steven says he can't stop it, Martin can't stop it, that it's too far gone now, and Steven has to make a decision, you know, kill a family member. But what's interesting is that Anna isn't affected by any of the stuff that the kids have.
Yeah, it's only the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And Steven gets angry, punches Martin's teeth out.
Yep.
And then Martin bites Steven. And then I guess he feels bad and just bites a fucking chunk out of his own arm. Oh, man. I like Kim and Bob's relationship. Like, Bob is like addicted to, like, he likes music a lot, like metal and punk.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of like a storyline, like Kim keeps losing her MP3 players. And I love, like, whenever she's like, hey Bob, do you have your MP3 player when you're dead? It's like, what?
Same as the scene too when his eyes start to bleed because she's in the room too.
Yeah.
She's like, Dad, Bob's dying. Bob's dying. Yeah. It's just like I'm saying it with emotion, but she's just like yelling, but like no emotion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's almost like she's happy. She's like,
yeah, like, yeah.
Hey, Dad, Bob's dying.
Yeah. She gets his MP3 player now.
Yeah. So There's a few like quick scenes in here. Bob cuts off his hair and like crawls to his dad, and you know, he's like, "Dad, I did it, you know, cut my hair off," and brings him back to bed. And then you see what happens. Meanwhile, Steven goes to like the principal's or the school.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize what he was doing. But then I was like, dude, that's fucked up.
That is fucked up big time.
He's asking the principal about his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're good at, what their grades are. I was like, okay, I mean, it's kind of weird, you know. Cam excels in music, blah, 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 and Bob is good in this and this. And then Steven's like, which kid do you think has the best opportunity? And I'm like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
He's trying to, you know, pick what kid to kill.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he asks the principal too, he's like, if you had to pick a favorite between the two of them, like, yeah, which one do you like more? Yeah. The principal's like, I don't think I can answer that question. Yeah.
And then later, fucking Anna is like, hey, just kill one of them. We can have more kids.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a full conversation, like, you know, barely 40 years old. Like, you know, we can always make more kids. Like, who cares if we lose one? It's like, what the
so fuck? Fucked up, man. So fucked up. Like, I have four.
Yeah.
And I would never say that.
No.
You think it.
So yeah, I think while he's at the school, Anna carries Bob downstairs to see Martin, and then Kim is like crawling on the floor because she can't feel her legs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of asking Martin, you know, do something. And he's like, basically, Bob is dying, you know. Yeah, we're running out of time. Like, Martin or Steven has to do something.
Yeah.
And then she like kisses his feet.
Yeah.
Very weird.
I didn't get that either. And then she sets him free.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I can agree with, because I feel like there's not much you can do.
Yeah.
Like, keeping him there isn't going to do change anything.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you see that Kim, her knees are all like bleeding and fucked up because she basically crawled like, I don't know how far, but pretty fucking far away from the house.
Yeah.
And it's pretty sad, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, because she tries to get Martin to make her legs work again. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we can run away together. Like, you can get your friend's motorcycle and we'll just take off. It'll just be the two of us.
Yeah.
But he obviously doesn't allow that to happen. And then that's whenever she decides to go for a little stroll.
Yeah, in the middle of the night. That. Yeah. So yeah, like we said, Bob's eyes start bleeding. And then the Bob's dying part have you laughing too. And at the beginning of the movie, Martin and Anna, Steven and Anna are in their bedroom, and Anna's like, oh, I'm going to wear this black dress that you like. Then at the end of the movie, whenever Bob is basically dying, like, have like a weird Anna and Steven, like a weird conversation. Like, I don't know, the way they're talking to each other, it's weird, but she's basically, oh, by the way, I'm going to wear that black dress you like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you wearing sexy something to like your kids dying, basically?
Well, because I'm wondering if she thought that like she was a candidate to be killed too.
Oh.
And she selfishly didn't want to die. So she was like kind of showing him what he'd be missing.
Mm. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. So this ending, what did you think of it?
It's fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
You gotta stop making me watch these goddamn movies. He fucking, he has both kids tied up, and then he ties up Anna,
mm-hmm.
and he puts pillowcases over their heads.
Yeah.
And he's got a rifle. And he pulls a beanie down over his eyes so he can't see.
Yeah.
And then he just spins around in a circle and fires the rifle.
Yeah.
First shot misses everybody.
Yeah.
Spins around again. Second shot misses everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Spins around a third time and he fucking ends up shooting Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right in the chest. And I was just like, fuck me, man. I was hoping it would be Anna that he shot, but
yeah. Did you think it was going to be Anna that was going to get killed?
No, I had a feeling it was going to be Bob, but
yeah,
I was hoping it would take me by surprise and not be him.
Yeah.
I just figured he was the furthest one gone. So,
I mean, like, I don't know, man. Cause even Anna tells Steven at one point after she releases Martin is like, you have to do something basically. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that he could think of to do. You know, tough decision, obviously fucked up, but.
Well, he didn't make a decision, right? It was, he left it to chance.
I guess, but yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, hey, like Anna said, they could just make another one.
Yeah. 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 And then I felt like the score in this movie was kind of like a play, like, especially in this last scene.
Yeah.
Like just like the crescendo and like
The score was very, very good in this movie.
Yeah. And then it ends with them at the diner, which at the beginning we first meet Martin. They're at the diner. And I think there's like dialogue and things are very like placed very well. Like you don't think that they mean a lot, but they do. Like at the diner at the beginning, Martin gets a hamburger and fries and they're talking and Martin's eating the fry or he eats the fries first, right?
No. Fries are his favorite, so he saves them to the end.
Yeah. And then in the final scene, the family members are sitting there having their meal and then Martin comes up, doesn't say anything to them, orders a water and just turns around and just like
sits there watching
staring at him. And Kim eats her fries first.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. Little thing that they did there.
Yeah.
And then family just gets up, leaves. Kim kind of, would you say that she smiled at him or like smirked at him?
Yeah, maybe. Because she was staring him down the whole time she was eating.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Steven doesn't look at him at all.
Yeah.
Anna does look at him one final time. And they just walk out of the diner and that's it.
Cue the credits.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to bring up that we didn't, that we missed or anything?
I don't think so. I don't know. I need to watch this movie again though, I think. This is obviously at least a second time watch for you.
Yeah, I've watched it twice, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
This is one of those movies that I would watch again, but I don't think I would want to. Like, you know, like I think it's a very well-made movie, but just like the subject matter and like just the way it is, it's just very, makes me feel very uneasy. And even I was reading the trivia that Colin Farrell, like, he didn't throw up, but like he was disgusted the first time he read the script.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the way the blood splatters.
It was the eyeballs. All right. How did you rate this movie?
So for story, I will give it a 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I think it's a very original story. Like I said, like it's not scary. Like the tone of it isn't scary. Just like, I don't know, the way that they act and the dialogue and stuff is very, makes me feel very uneasy like throughout the whole movie. I did like the characters a lot. I thought they all had their own little quirks. I mean, as weird as the family was, like own little quirks and stuff like that. I really felt for Martin and the mother, because basically Martin says he's, you killed my dad, and, you know, now I got to take a family member of yours. And Martin is very, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, he knows that what he's doing is wrong, but it's the only thing that he could think of. It's the only thing that he could think of to do to get his revenge.
Yeah.
Or sorry, he says to get justice.
Yeah.
Because basically his dad died and nothing happened, right? So yeah. And just like the whole thing we talked about with like the kids and the whole like steps, like it's kind of confusing as like how they did that. Was it in their minds? Obviously not, because he starts bleeding, but like, was it in Kim's mind? Because she can like walk at one point, you know. So that part was kind of confusing, but
yeah.
So 8 out of 10, and quality, I'll give it a 10 out of 10.
Oh, damn.
I think the acting in this movie, like Barry Keoghan, I fucking love this guy, man. Like, this is probably his biggest role. Like, the other movies he's been in, like Dunkirk, The Green Knight, and The Batman, are like, his character's in it for like 5 minutes. It's been a while since I've seen Dunkirk, but not a lot of screen time for the other characters, right?
Yeah.
Because even in Banshees, like, he's in it a lot. I think, did he get nominated for Best Supporting Actor? I forget.
I don't know if he did or if Donald Gleason did.
Yeah. But even in that movie, like, he's a side character. And I felt like this is, like, the only movie he's been in where he has a full role.
Yeah, like, he's kind of like a side character, but he's on the same level as Colin Farrell is.
Yeah. So, he's still a young guy. So, like, I honestly think that this guy can be one of the best actors in there, because he just went all in with this fucking character, man. And even, like, Nicole Kidman and Colin Farrell did an amazing job.
They're seasoned actors, right? Like,
they are, yeah. But even the kids, like, I think Sonny and the girl that plays Kim did a great job, honestly. The look of this movie was gorgeous. The camera style, I love. The score, I really liked a lot. Just from a quality standpoint, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Okay.
So I'll go 8 out of 10 and 10 out of 10.
All right.
And I did not see your Letterboxd score, so I have no idea what kind of rating you're going to give here.
Yeah, I made a point to not look at yours either.
Okay.
We differ.
I wasn't sure how you would feel about this movie.
Yeah. So my story, I gave it a 4 out of 10. I found it to be super confusing. I didn't understand how all of this was happening. I didn't get the point of it. But I do think on a second watch, maybe like pick up some other things that I may have missed. I maybe just wasn't in the right mindset for it, but I don't know, man. Like, if I research it a little bit more and I get other people's ideas on it, maybe it'll help me kind of expand my mind on it. But on this first watch, I found the story to be very confusing. Didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. But my quality, I gave it an 8.
Okay, I can respect that.
Yeah, I think this movie was brilliantly made. Like, the cinematography, the score, the acting was phenomenal, but I found the script to be really fucking weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing, because it's kind of like a shock value thing, like, especially the story with his dad is like, what the fuck? Like,
At the start of the movie, the way that they were speaking and acting and whatnot was really annoying to me. But as the movie progressed, it started to grow on me. And I was like, okay. Like, it's comical.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like the way that you had talked about the score of it almost feeling like it was a play, I really felt that too. And yeah, I thought the music in this movie was fucking incredible. Like,
yeah,
like this is a soundtrack that you could have on vinyl.
Yeah, I was literally thinking that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, first watch, not great scores, but maybe on a second watch, I'll appreciate it a little bit more. And I mean, like, I've never seen, like, I watched Dogtooth, but for Yorgos Lanthimos, like, I don't know. I know that he does make weird movies and he kind of has a niche.
Yeah.
But I do really want to watch The Favorite. I've heard it's very good.
Yeah, me too.
And based off of what you said about The Lobster, that just stands incredible. So, I mean, maybe I like those ones, but
yeah.
He's like a very like art house type director.
Yeah.
So, like even the title card or the cover art on his movies is so like basic and minimalist.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. 4 to 10, 8 out of 10 for me.
Cool. I'll take it.
All right, you guys know our scores. Let's head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: The Killing of a Sacred Deer continues director Yorgos Lanthimos' stubbornly idiosyncratic streak and demonstrates again that he is a talented, or that he is a talent not to be ignored. So, based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll go with 86.
Not quite. Critics gave it a 79.
Okay.
It is certified fresh, though. That's on 282 ratings and an average score of 7.7 out of 10. The audience score is significantly lower with a 63% on 10,000 reviews and an average score of 3.3 out of 5 or a 6.6 out of 10.
It's very interesting because all the movie bros are on Letterboxd, man. So, you know, Letterboxd has the higher score.
Yeah.
Letterboxd has a 3.8 out of 5. I gave it a 4.5. What was your score?
I gave it a 3.
Okay, that's respectable. Let's see who else I can find on here. Jensen gave it a 4 out of 5. Anthony Here Be Monster gave it a 4 out of 5. How much? Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. I'm also kind of pissed that there is no deer in this movie whatsoever.
Well, there was. You just got to look for it.
Was there?
Yeah, in the trivia. I'll see if I can find it. In one scene, there's, I think it's in the hospital. There's a deer picture above Bob's bed. And in the diner, there was also at the beginning, I think beside Steven, there was a deer on the wallpaper.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Totally missed that.
Yeah, I did too.
All right. Are you ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
What did you give this for a scare rating?
Scare rating, okay, this is a tough one. I'm trying to decide where to put this at. I'm going to go an 8 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Just, it's not like scary as in like jump scare or gory. It's just the whole movie, I just felt uneasy. Not even with Martin's character, but just uneasy about the family too. Mm-hmm. Like, just the way they are, the way they talk, the way they act, just makes me feel weird and, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I go 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Scariest scene, this one's a tough one too, but I'm going to go with Martin eating spaghetti.
Okay.
Because that whole monologue is, like, I use this word a lot, but it made me feel very uneasy because he's very like monotone. Like, he's not, has no emotions. He just eats spaghetti, telling this story about why he's doing this and his relationship with his dad, and you get why he's doing this and he doesn't want to do it, but it's the only way he feels like he can get justice. And yeah, like, this is a fucking kid. He's 16, but he still seems much older than he is.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay.
And would I survive? I mean, I have a, it depends how many people in the family, but I guess, you know, in this scenario, 1 in 3 chance of surviving. It's all up to chance, right? So I guess there's only 2 people in my household, so I guess I have a 50-50 chance of surviving. That's all fucked up to say.
Shit. Well, for me, I put my scare rating at a 5.
See, that's still high too, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, for me, like, I got the uneasiness throughout it as well. But like,
yeah,
for me, it's the whole kid subject content.
Okay.
And like, having to make that choice.
Yeah.
Of like, I have to fucking choose one of my kids to kill. Like, that's fucked up. So like,
putting myself,
or my wife. Yeah. just like the thought of being put in that scenario is kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
For me, the scariest scene was that final scene. Him just fucking spinning around in a circle, firing off a rifle.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of thinking, like, maybe no one was going to die.
Do you think he was thinking of just turning the gun on himself?
Yeah.
Do you think that that would have solved the problem? Because he says, like, Martin says, you have to kill one of your family members.
He is a family member, really.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I think Martin wants him to suffer the way that his family suffered.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And would I survive? I mean, like, I didn't really know how to answer this.
Yeah.
I guess if I'm in Colin Farrell's shoes, yes. Because I'm the one doing the killing. But I'm an only child, so no, I wouldn't. I'm fucked. I'm an only child.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have been fucked.
This might be an easy question to answer. It may not be. I don't know. Who are you side with in this movie? Are you team Martin or team Steven?
Oh, team Steven.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm team Martin, man.
Really?
He's justified, right?
Is he though?
No, but I mean, he has good reasoning as to why he's doing this.
But like, people die on the operating table every day, man. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's not like he purposely killed him.
He was drunk.
He had 2 drinks.
You don't know what kind of drinks they were. They could have been fucking Al Cool.
Al Cool, Jesus Christ.
And who knows, because there was like 2 different stories of what was told, you know?
Yeah.
Steven said he only had a little bit, but he was an alcoholic, so a little bit to him could be 8 beer.
Yeah, that's fair. But even his anesthesiologist didn't, like, said that he wasn't drunk.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Well,
what are we watching in 2 weeks?
You cut that conversation off short. All right.
Is that all you have about that movie?
Yes, it is. It is. So I had a movie in mind that I wanted to pick, but now I'm not sure. Because there's been one that I've really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting to pick it. But the original one that I was going to pick is fitting for one of our news segments that we talked about.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the one that I've wanted to do for a while.
Okay.
Ghost Ship.
Oh, fuck. All right.
Not a fan of that movie?
I don't know. I haven't watched it since it first came out. So,
oh man.
Yeah. All I remember is the opening scene in from HMC's episode. That's all you need is that opening scene. But I mean, I guess we'll see. But no, yeah. I've been wanting to watch the movie for a while, ever since HMC covered it. Like,
yeah.
Probably like a year ago or maybe even longer. But
I think that's what sparked my want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other movie that I originally wanted to pick was The Toxic Avenger.
Okay, yeah.
So neither movie really tickles your fancy by the sounds.
Oh no, because we did Toxic Avenger on our like one movie watch that we did.
Yeah, but no. We didn't do that one. We did Taming the T-Rex.
Oh no, we chose that for HFC, didn't we?
Yeah. So, all right, ghost ship in 2 weeks. Ahoy, all mateys. Aboard. That's a train. Holy fuck. Okay. Hogwarts Express.
Yeah, ghost train.
Fuck. That might be an alright movie. All right. Cool. So yeah, if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at The Podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account, where we have our merch, our Patreon, where if you wish to support the podcast that way, each of our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Our first episode of a podcast on Fury Road has dropped. We did Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It's currently, as at this time of recording, only on Spotify. Maybe by the time this episode drops, it'll be out on more platforms, but I don't know. Apple takes a long time to accept. Mm-hmm. So we shall see, but go check that one out too. We would really appreciate it. We had a lot of fun with that episode.
We did, yeah.
All right. See you in two weeks to talk about Ghost Ship. All aboard. All right.
Is that it? All right.
That's it.
Talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
See you later.